havoc on Earth. Then we ask the question, what motivates people to have so much pride that is destructive? And what makes people want to harm other people? One is act and worship itself, which is really tricky. Sometimes I do work on the outside. I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I want people, and more even better than that, I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, I expect Allah to say, well, this servant of mine, he should be before you guys. Why? Because he's a servant of mine. He worships me. He does actions for me. Therefore, he needs to be, you know, honored. And no one else needs to be honored. Why? Because he is so good. And this is the fallacy that happens here, is that we put ourselves in an action of ibadah, in a place where we act, and then we want people to respect us for it. And we use that as a pride. And this is like, this comes in a very sneaky way. Or sometimes I worship Allah, and then shaitan comes into my head and plays around, and then slowly, slowly, he gets into my head, and all of a sudden I see myself committing all these haram acts without realizing, without knowing. And then I have this pride thing happening. This is one of the causes that causes people into falling into the concept of pride. Another reason that causes people to fall into the pride problem and disease is that their lineage. And this happens basically back in the day, used to happen more than now, because now no one cares about your family lineage or what your family is and what your surname is. But to a certain extent, we still have royal families to some extent. He's a royal. When he's a royal, he's from the royal family, or he's from a very prominent family, he needs to be respected and honored, and these people walk on eggshells. They think of themselves better than everyone else. So sometimes when a person has a lineage or has a family that is, you know, respected in society, those people use it as a way of making themselves sound better and look better and want people to treat them better. Even though it's nonsense, it's just a figment of their imagination, because Allah says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. He doesn't care what family you're from or how much money you have. Don't be prideful. It's not good for you. It's bad for you. It's bad for the community, bad for everybody. So don't do it. So these are some of the causes. There are more causes that causes people to become prideful. Inshallah, we'll keep it to other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. You are listening to Lantern, and we have a new story. Think about the ass in the lion's skin, and come to listen to our today's story. An ass found a lion's skin left in the forest by a hunter. He dressed himself in it and amused himself by hiding in a thicket and rushing out suddenly at the animals who passed that way. All took to their heels the moment they saw him. The ass was so pleased to see the animals running away from him just as if he were King Lion himself that he could not keep from expressing his delight by a loud, harsh bray. A fox who ran with the rest stopped short as soon as he heard the voice. Approaching the ass, he said with a laugh, "If you had kept your mouth shut, you well might have frightened me too, but you gave yourself away with that silly bray." A fool may deceive by his dress and appearance, but his words will soon show what he really is.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Lantern, and this is Beta at your service. A new story, a new day, a new perspective, and a new life. The story of today is the story of everyday life which we are facing in modern world. You know, the ass under the lion's skin. Sometimes I make friend with someone, and after a long time, which something bad happens to this relationship, I will understand that, okay, I saw that behavior from the moment this person opened his mouth to speak to me. But why we ignore these kind of things? Because we tend to actually pay our full attention to the appearance of other people. But sometimes you have to stop. You have to make a challenge for yourself before facing this kind of problem in real world. What is this challenge which I always have it with myself is that, for example, let's put yourself in a situation of, I don't know, going through a marriage. In this situation, you have to be aware of the personality of that person. I mean, appearance is not the thing that will last forever. So what would you choose? The person with the beautiful appearance, with, I don't know, beautiful hair, beautiful skin, and so on, but with no manner, And at the other side, we have a person with, I don't know, maybe a normal appearance, or even it tends to be ugly from some sides. But let me tell you that nothing is ugly in this world. It depends on the way you see other people. The beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Don't forget this beautiful quote. So, which one do you choose? This is really difficult for me, at least. Because, you know, sometimes I wonder, how should I tolerate a person with that appearance? You know, we cannot go extreme and tell, like, okay, appearance is nothing. Yeah, appearance matters, okay? But a problem pops up when you decide about the personality of that person by their appearance.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspect of our life.
You know, and there are some actually, maybe I can tell some smart people who would choose this opportunity to deceive you. Especially in business matters and something, there are many beautiful, well-dressed people who are trying to sell you something, I don't know, maybe second times as the price as it should be. And this is where you have to be really attentive, you have to be really careful and not go through the trap that they are making for you. And this is not all. We can, I don't know, count countless examples here of being deceived by the appearance of people. But let me tell you something which I think is really interesting. It is not all. There are a group of people who are trying to deceive you by their appearance. But when they open their mouths to speak, you can understand that, okay, who they are. But the disaster is where the people are trying to deceive you by the way they speak. You know, there are times that we are deceived by how beautiful people speak. So what should we do in this complicated world that from all the walls are, people fighting you for deceiving you for their own benefits? The only thing I can tell you is that you have to be thoughtful, you have to be attentive, and you have to go through the mistakes, through some dark part of your life, sometimes everything is out of brightness, to, taste the bitterness of being hurt by someone, by being deceived by someone. And I think this is unavoidable. This is what we have all we have to go through. I'm not telling you to go through that. I'm telling you that you will go if, I don't know, whether you want to do that or you don't. But the thing that matters here is how you want to control it, how you want to control this situation, this place of being deceived. And at the other side, you have to know that sometimes you are the one who is deceiving other people. In these kind of situations, I always tell people and myself that you are not exception. You are a human being, and human is to err, as I told you countless times. You have to know that you may be the person who is deceiving other people. But don't forget that the fact always will be revealed. And the sun won't be hidden under the clouds. And at the end, I want to leave you with a beautiful Persian poem, which I want to tell you the translation and interpretation of this poem, which tells you, if the key of the treasure of a human being is lost, you cannot go deep in that person. And what is the key of a treasure of a human being? Exactly. This is your mouth. Be careful about your words and always be thoughtful. Thank you for listening to us. It was all the time we had for today's episode. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ana bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub.
In the limelight. Many farm workers are still out of work and struggling to afford food in the wake of California's disastrous floods. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Truthout wrote in this regard, one-third of Javier Zamora's organic farm in Santa Cruz County in California is still inundated with water and debris that, under the pressure of ongoing storms, burst from the soil in Carneros Creek. The whole 22 acres just became a lake, he told Truthout. Zamora, the owner of JSM Organics, lost his full strawberry crop, which alone cost $144,000 to put in the ground. Like many growers, he has only just begun assessing the full extent of damage to his farm, which he and his wife pieced together acre by acre over 11 years. He imagines it will amount to no less than $250,000 in damage overall. But Zamora has insurance and trust the disaster relief process. The worst part of the flooding, he said, is that he can't afford to pay the usual 16 to 18 employees who work through the winter. Zamora, whose firm also serves as a classroom for workers he hires and mentors, usually scales down from 48 workers to just over a dozen in the winter month. But this season has been different. He says, I'm broke. There is nothing to sell. The soil is saturated, Zamora said, noting that other extreme weather events like wildfires have also caused dips in employment for farm workers, though for much shorter 2 to 3 day stretches. This is the first time in his experience that operations have been stalled for weeks on end. Though Laura Burst worries that workers who are called on to return to work will be asked to tackle hazardous tasks. These conditions where it's really muddy, slippery, it's cold, your fingers get numb, your feet get stuck, you're operating sharp tools in some cases. This is creating dangers for workers in what was an already risky job. According to the United States Department of Agriculture's National Institute of Food and Agriculture, agricultural work is statistically the most dangerous form of labor. Amid back-to-back deluges, California Governor Gavin Newsom missed a major opportunity to provide relief earlier this month by failing to include funding for unemployment benefits for excluded immigrant workers in this year's state budget proposal, unveiled on January 10th, in spite of ongoing urging by activists. It was an intervention that, while far from a comprehensive solution, could have had an immense impact, advocates say. The decision followed his December veto of proposed legislation to support foreign working families in the midst of increasingly variable climatic conditions, which would have made available $1,000 per month in supplemental assistance to households with at least one foreign worker. In response, on January 20, a network of 120 advocacy groups known as the Safety Net for All Coalition launched a campaign to extend unemployment benefits to undocumented workers on the heels of similar legislation passing in Colorado. A complementary effort is also underway in New York. Oriola Maceda Mendez is a member of the coalition and director of programs for Bi-National Center for the Development of Oaxacan Indigenous Communities, which serves an estimated 160,000 primarily indigenous migrants from Mexico, many of whom now work agricultural jobs and live in California's Valle San Joaquin. Mendez says not having access to unemployment like other workers with documents is not only unfair but also groundless. They pay us the same, they take the same deductions from our checks, and we all pay taxes, she told Truth Out, adding, where is this money? Where are these resources? Plus, according to the Safety Net for All Coalition, California employers pay $489 million in unemployment insurance taxes on behalf of undocumented workers, which in theory should mean there are funds to be had. We are in a moment in which we need to demonstrate solidarity, Mendez says. We need to appreciate farm workers for the work that they do day to day, not just with words, but appreciating them and recognizing them by way of providing benefits. At the intersection of social and environmental crises, it's worth noting what is within our immediate sphere of influence, which activists urge include measures like extending the social safety net to all workers, regardless of immigration status, and ensuring that farm workers earn a living wage. Those changes in turn have the potential to lessen the negative impact of the climate crisis, including the sharpening force of winter weather in California on vulnerable, skilled, and essential workers. We cannot control a storm, but we can control the fact that the workers in our food system are paid poverty wages, Delora Burst said, adding, American agriculture is built on the assumption that there is going to be a low-wage labor force that is almost outside of the protection of American law, whether that's undocumented workers or sharecroppers, the Laura Burr said, adding, that's really what we are trying to change.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. Choo choo ka choo. It's the youth station for you. And that's right, I'm back, guys. It's me, Muzaffar Haider. And.
Yeah, and well, I'm Asma, and it's a pleasure to be here and to meet you, of course.
It's great to have you, sister. It's really good to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Can I advise you about something?
No, the worst advice is advice.
There you go. That's what we're discussing.
I killed it at the very beginning.
Yeah, I was trying to enter this surreptitiously, sister.
Tit for tat, you know.
Yeah, subtly. Okay, fine. So that's what why do we hate advice?
Yeah, because we don't... first thing first, we don't hate advice.
Okay.
Because sometimes when my friend or when my mom or my dad tells me something that is going to improve the method of a thing that I'm going to do, then it's not going to be the worst advice. It's friendly. It's in a way that is my type of thing that I would love to hear. I guess it's more about the person who's giving you that advice and the way it is going to be told to you.
Why does that make such a big difference?
Because that's a whole story.
If somebody does it kindly and if somebody does... But then sometimes people come to you kindly.
Not even, I won't say even kindly, you know. Sometimes maybe my dad is not going to give me an advice very much kindly.
Uh-huh,
no, he's saying it to me in an authoritative way.
But it's his place.
But it's in its place, yeah.
So we don't like advice when it's coming from the wrong place.
Exactly.
Like, who are you
now that
to advise
sense.
Me? That kind of thing.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. In some cases, maybe.
Well, it annoys me when people advise and I'm just like, well, you don't know. You'd never walked in these shoes. You don't know because you've never walked in my shoes, for example.
You have never been in my place.
Yeah. Why are you advising me when you don't do it yourself?
Especially if I have seen that person doing the same thing that I'm going to do, but they're just good in giving it to other people, you know? They're just good in selling it to other people.
I think one of the reasons why we don't like advice, even when it's good advice and it's coming from the right people whose place it is because we don't recognize them. So there's a hadith which says that your true friend, it's about recognizing your true friend and your fake friend.
Yeah.
Right. Differentiating between the fake friend and the true friend. Mm-hmm. So guys, if you want to differentiate between your true friends and your fake friends, remember this hadith. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, your true friend is the one who basically, he tells you your flaws.
Yeah, and he or she is your mirror.
Yeah, yeah. There's another hadith which says that the
mu'minina, they reflect you,
mirrors
your flaws,
of each other. Yeah, so... but this particular hadith, it says that your true friend is the one who tells you your flaws and your enemy is the one who hides your flaws from you.
Yeah. Right. But then it depends on
not about
friend,
other people,
you know?
Just very quickly, not about other people.
Yeah.
Your true friend is also the one who hides your flaws from other people.
Exactly, yeah.
Not necessarily from you. He will advise you. He'll tell you, look, you have this flaw. I've seen you do this thing.
You
it's
know,
really
I
bad.
I would say they would look like your family.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have a flaw, they would love me to change it because they want me to be in my perfect picture.
Yeah, but they're not going to tell other people.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? If they tell other
people... They're not going to use it against
me. Yeah, watch out for those guys, sister.
Yeah.
If they tell other people your flaws, they're not...
Then they're not friends.
They're not your friends.
They're
no.
enemies.
But if they come to you privately and they say, hey, sister, you've got this flaw and I think you should address it and fix it.
Yeah.
That's your true friend, but you're not going to like it. Why? Because they're your peers.
Yes.
It's harder to take advice from your peers, right?
Yeah, that's from also another point.
Do you know what? We're going to come back to this subject right after a break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back to the studio. We've had a tea break and now we're back. So we were talking about advice and
advice.
Getting advice from your peers and how that's more difficult. Hearing advice from your teachers and parents is easy. Even older siblings is easier because they're older than you. Their place is different. They've got more experience. But if somebody your same age or, God forbid, younger than you advises you, it's really hard to
God forbid younger than you.
Yeah. I mean, I get that all the time.
Really? From
all
who?
The time from like youths. And I'm just like, okay, all right, yeah, thanks for that.
I've been there and done that. Yeah. So why are you giving me the advices? I should give you the advice, not you to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very weird.
But Allah wants that.
From the younger ones? To an extent.
Yeah. So there's another hadith, right, where it says that you should respect those who are older than you because they've done more a'mal.
Uh-huh.
And you should respect those who are younger than you because they've committed less sins.
Uh-huh,
now, when we're looking at younger people, this is Youth Station, guys. Hey. When you're looking at those younger people, you have to realize that they haven't committed as many sins.
But, okay, they're not as experienced as I am. They're singing songs of innocence.
Older people might have more experience, but sometimes they've committed so many bad deeds, it's clouded their judgment. And so the advice they give you is not necessarily so pure. Whereas the young kids, sometimes they'll look up at you and it's a different kind of perspective. And they'll come to you out of a little bit more of an innocent place.
Yeah, that's a nice point. But still, when we are in the situation and a younger person comes to me and tells me something, because, you know, I have logic and brain, so that process works in my brain. So I can understand that she or he are telling to me these things out of
ignorance.
Innocence or ignorance.
Yeah. There's that too, yeah. I mean, I was just giving the other side, you know.
I'm
actually quite curious now. Mm-hmm. Give me an example of where it's aggravated you.
Where it has aggravated me. Well, I have a younger brother.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now I understand. Okay.
Yeah. Like, for example, that decision you're making is not true. I feel more like his mother, not his sister. Mm-hmm. So when he gives me advices, I feel like, what's happening in this world? So I'm older than you. I know more than you. Well, since I love him, I don't show any harsh reaction to what he says. I just ignore it with a smile, and it's a sarcastic smile, and then I tell him.
Okay, so you did not beat him.
No.
Okay.
I'm very easy.
Okay.
I'm an easy
person. Just making
person.
Clear. All right.
No, there's no beating. I'm not cruel that much, but I will make it up for him in another situation.
So, okay, when you smiled at him...
Sarcastically, and he would get the answer.
And he understood.
Yeah, he understood.
Okay.
So, but then, after just some days, I thought about what he said. Because, you know, as human beings, even when we reject other people, even when we reject a saying, a notion, or whatever... then we start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then our logic starts to make some clues out of what you have heard. And then I'm the sort of a person who thinks about, of course, I'm not going to confess it to everyone that, okay, you were right. Mm-hmm. But then I would understand the right point and then act accordingly. But I would never confess, of course.
Right. We're going to go for a break. We'll come right back.
That's the right time, I guess.
Welcome back to the studio. We've been talking about
advice.
Giving advice, taking advice, how it's difficult to get advice from the elders and from those who are younger than us. And I just wanted to throw this out there as a reminder that, look, guys, especially you youngsters out there, if you really see a flaw in the older generation, an auntie, an uncle, an older brother, an older sister, whoever... You've got to be really delicate about the way that you give them advice.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
Really, really delicate. The famous hadith.
Hassanain, when they met the guy who couldn't do the evolution correctly, then they show it to him through their acting. They did it in front of him.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of an indirect sort of
teaching.
Exactly.
They were indirect.
Yeah.
You can't be so straight up with the elder. Because you just gave a really good example with you and your brother, how difficult it is to accept that advice, even though later on with introspection, you understood that maybe that is the right thing to do. But you're not going to take it from some kid. You don't know anything. Right? You kids don't know Jack. Yeah.
But I have to say it as well that even the kids nowadays can teach you things. So we have to change this cliche sort of notion that says you can't take it from the younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
But still, we could have some perspective from their own point of views, because that could work, you know? Just as I was talking about the relationship between me and my brother, then many times I see the things that he talks about are just horizons that I cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess since there is this gap, even now, when there is 10 years of, gap between you and your siblings, or I don't know, your friends or whomever, even that 10 years is going to make a lot of change in the way you look at life.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess they also can teach you things or give you another perspective, another horizon, show you the other side of the story.
Allah just wants our eyes and our minds, our hearts to be open so that we can accept that advice which is coming our way.
So we should actually take the good things.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't look at their age or at their personality or whatever. Just take the good advices from every single person.
Yes. And reject not necessarily bad advice, but even good advice, which is not for you.
Yeah.
Right? If you go to a different person, they're gonna give you advice from their own perspective.
Yeah.
What you really have to try and do is obey only and only Allah.
As even our holy book is telling us that we have to listen to the best ideas and then catch the best thing that is going to benefit us, we have to do it. And I guess it's not that very much difficult, because as time goes by, as we grow older, we just understand the people that used to give us advice, they were just so much loving us, actually, and they were just expressing their love towards us. Because as we grow older and we see the youngsters who are so much dear to us, and we see that they're doing something wrong, we very much desire to show them the way and tell them that this way is not going to lead you somewhere good. So just in this way, we understand that sometimes those who give you the advice are just in love with you, and their mere desire is just to show you the true way.
Right you are, sister. And the verse that you mentioned is this: الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. Those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ. Those are they who Allah has guided. So I think that's a really, really good point right there, that you should listen to it, but don't follow all of it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Listen to all of it, but don't follow all of it.
Pick the parts that are more suitable for you.
Yeah, and again, don't look at where the advice is coming from necessarily, but we are coming to the end of the episode, sister. We need to quickly address the fact that you shouldn't listen to advice coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to listen to the advice of Shaitan.
Exactly, that's another point.
And he swears, I am to you a sincere advisor.
Yeah, he just sneaks around and he's waiting for a situation. So sometimes even a friend can give me an advice that would lead me to hell.
But then to you, it's going to seem like good advice.
Exactly.
So where should you listen to advice? Where is it coming from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a hadith from, I don't want to refute everything that we've just said, but there's a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam where he says, I'd rather listen to the advice of an elderly man than a brazen, young, brash youth.
Wow, yeah.
Right? Because it does make sense. They have more experience. Mm-hmm. They have more understanding.
Logic is more improved.
Ahsant, right? So true. But yeah, they've got more experience. I'd put it down to experience.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's pretty much relatable, because as we get older, I just said it before, we understand what happens when you get old and you just give advice to other people. You do it out of sheer love for the other people. You don't want them to get entrapped.
Well, that's all we have time for today, sister. It's been a pleasure discussing this stuff with you.
Of course, of course.
We'll see you next time, inshallah.
Inshallah. So, until another session, I bid you, the audience, farewell. So, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Limelight.
Experts say COVID school closures cost children one-third of a year's learning. So they say a sustained catch-up effort is needed to help students to recover lost skills and knowledge. Please stay with us for an exclusive article published in the scientific journal Nature. Stay tuned for more. Children lost out on more than one-third of a school year's worth of learning during the COVID-19 pandemic, an analysis has found. Their math skills were more affected than their reading abilities. The study published in Nature Human Behavior on January 30 shows that efforts to prevent further learning losses after the pandemic has been successful, but school-age children have not caught up on the loss of knowledge and skills that they experienced at the start of the pandemic, during which school closures were widespread. This is going to be a real problem for this generation that experienced the pandemic in school, says Bastian Bosher, a sociologist at the University of Oxford and co-author of this study. If not addressed, these learning losses will affect this generation's success in the labor market, he adds. COVID-19 pandemic caused the largest disruption to education in history. 95% of the world's student population was affected by school closures. According to the UN Cultural Organization UNESCO, schools suspended in-person teaching for an average of 3.5 months during the pandemic. The authors screened 5,997 peer-reviewed papers and pre-printed studies on the pandemic's impacts on education. They looked at learning deficits, delays in learning progress, measured using test scores, as well as the loss of skills and knowledge that children already had before the pandemic. Their analysis included 291 learning deficit estimates, reported in 42 studies from 15 high and middle income countries, the United States, the UK, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Denmark, Italy, Spain, Mexico, Sweden, Switzerland, South Africa, the Netherlands, Germany, and Colombia. The researchers calculated that, on average, school-aged children across all grades lost 35% of a school year's worth of learning during the pandemic, and that these learning gaps had not been recovered as of May 2022. The loss of skills was worse in math than in reading, possibly because parents were less able to help their children with math exercises, the researchers speculate. There are, however, some skills that children might have developed during the pandemic as a result of remote or hybrid teaching, says Luca Lusik, a psychologist at the Pratt Institute in New York City. Kids were getting super familiarized with the cyberspace and technological context, and will in the future be much more native to the digital world. The learning slowdown during the pandemic was not just an outcome of school closures, but a combination of factors involving home learning environments. These include access to learning equipment, computers, digital sources, having a quiet room to work in, and economic insecurity amongst families, says Busher. The pandemic reinforced learning inequality at the global level, he said. There was a lack of data from lower-income countries, but the study found that children with more disadvantaged socioeconomic backgrounds in high- and middle-income countries have experienced larger learning losses. The authors predict that the pandemic's effects on learning will be more severe for children in poorer regions. Those students were suffering before the pandemic. They suffered more during the pandemic, and now, as we are trying to get our way out of this, they're going to receive less than others to recover, says Amanda Nitz, a researcher at Johns Hopkins University School of Education in Baltimore, Maryland. Researchers say policy initiatives to help children to recover lost learning and skills are urgently needed. This isn't going to be something that we watch up in a year or two. When everything is back to normal, I think this is going to be a decade long, Nisha said, adding, we need to rethink schooling and make substantial changes to the structure and way that we do education to make this up.
This is
for a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is for a better life for IRIB English Radio. I am your host, Sayyid Mahdi Tawakkol. And one of my specialties is in offering some skills for having a more preferable life, and my talk is based on the Quran and Islamic narrations. In this session, I am going to be going over a negative trait, and that is to be stingy. Being stingy means that there is a man who can be generous, possesses required wealth and property, but still prefer not to spend. A stingy individual is someone who has money but is very reluctant to spend it, both for himself and for others who are related to him. While living a frugal lifestyle can be great and make for a perfectly happy person and family, it can be detrimental if it goes too far and ventures into stinginess, depriving yourself or others of everything in fear of unwillingness to spend money is not a good lifestyle. There are many psychological points that describes why man becomes stingy. It is said by the expert in this field that primary reason for stinginess is that people feel insecure about money. This financial insecurity makes it hard for them to give away something that they believe they lack. In most of the cases, these people do not lack money, but what they feel of shortage is just an assumption and an imagination.
It's not real. Being stingy usually stems from not having a good faith in Allah. Those people think that in future they may need a lot of portion of money, they may become ill, and the process of remedy may require a great deal of wealth, or they think that later on in their life they may need to buy something essential in their life, or maybe a sort of inflation may occur in their society, the basic necessities of life may become expensive, and so on and so more. The result of these imaginations, that usually are not real, is nothing that these people, for an unpleasant event that has never yet come, put themselves to another unpleasant situation that is present. And this is funny. In other words, these people, for a kind of bad situation that could happen in the future, just could happen, and still would not, put themselves in a bad situation and involve themselves in an unpleasant situation. They put themselves and those who are related to them into trouble for not being put into trouble. A wise man does totally vice versa. He tries to enjoy his life in a, of course, logical way and say that the same Allah who bestowed me this wealth now is also able to give me that in the future.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Imam Ali says in one of his novel saying, Al-Bukhlu Adun, being stingy, is dishonor and shame. Someone who is mean tries to add to his money for a time that he may not have the fortune to use it because no one knows how long he is alive. Why I should spend money for a day that I have no way to use it at all? It just is a waste of time and a waste of energy. There is another two neglected points. Pay attention to these points. Firstly, it is not certain that the future be difficult or even that much difficult. Secondly, if the future is difficult, I may not be alive to sense it, to sense that difficulty. My life could come to an end prior to being confronted with that difficulty. In both two cases, our intellect says that we should spend as much as is necessary and also customary. I remember that once I read that a man who was put into prison committed suicide for the fear of capital punishment. The strange part of this unwise function was that the man, due to the fear of not being killed, killed himself. The stingy man exactly does the same. Why a man whose resources of life is much more than his need should deprive himself and deprive those who are related to him from what he has? The opposite point of being stingy is generosity, which sometimes causes a person to give even his needed resources to others and still be happy since he sees others become happy as well. Being stingy is a hideous trait, and people near and far distance themselves from him. Secondly, stinginess is a cause of hard-heartedness or al-qasaba. It brings about cruelty because the stingy man hears the cries of the poor and sees their need, and at the same time does not help them, while he can afford to help them. And this is resultant in cruelty.
Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Allah,
Thirdly, miserliness causes many economic resources to be taken out of healthy commercial circulation, and a great portion of wealth will be stored useless as a treasure at the hand of the miserman. While some groups of people in this society may need it. And fourthly, stingy people are very weak in mind and in vision, and incapable of social thinking due to their irrational attachment to the wealth and property, and this is another disgrace for them. For this negative outcome of being stingy, Imam Ali says to his famous letter to Malik Ashtar, his honorable companion, لا تدخلن في مشورتك بخيلا. Never consult a stingy person at all, because such a man invites you to leave the truth and what is right and scares you of poverty. Let me end my discussion with another subtle point. Although many people are stingy concerning their wealth and property, we have some other source that people do not pay attention to it. For example, some people are not generous with regard to what they know. They are stingy with regard to what they know. For instance, a skillful doctor who knows how masterfully cure a diseased man may not reveal his secret and his method to other doctors. And his reason for this secrecy would be that he thinks that by this way people who suffer from the same disease may refer to him and he could gain more money and more fame. There are many examples of some people who knew some needed knowledge, but they had not revealed it to others upon until they passed away, and those secret knowledge and also valuable knowledge have remained uncovered forever. God be with you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land he knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand he knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash he knows. Every thought I have and every word I share he knows.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The United States is ramping up its efforts to counter China's growing regional power. Amid Washington's rising tensions with Beijing over the South China Sea and Taiwan, Washington and Manila agreed on plans to accelerate the full implementation of the, quote, Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement, with the full agreement to designate four new agreed locations in strategic areas of the Philippines. The deal would allow Washington to deploy military equipment and rotate its troops to four more bases. Washington has currently five bases in the Philippines. The two sides also agreed on the substantial completion of the project in existing agreed locations.
Today, Secretary Galvez and I also reaffirmed our mutual defense treaty commitments. And we'd note that the mutual defense treaty applies to armed attacks on either of our armed forces, public vessels, or aircraft anywhere in the South China Sea or the West Philippine Sea.
According to experts, Washington's access to those bases could provide U.S. forces a strategic position from which to mount operations in the event of a conflict over Chinese Taipei or in the South China Sea. China has criticized the U.S. for its plan to increase its military presence in the Philippines, warning that granting the U.S. greater access to military bases by Manila could hurt regional stability and raise tensions. The move is part of U.S. plans to encircle China's maritime border in anticipation of a war over Taiwan, which Beijing considers as its own. Last year, tensions rose to unprecedented levels after the then U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited the island. China has repeatedly warned against any attempt that delegitimizes its national sovereignty. Furthermore, China claims sovereignty over virtually all of the South China Sea, which is also claimed in part by